630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
It's Friday night and I'm sitting in a rocking chair in my closet-sized spare bedroom. Life is perfect because I get to talk with you. Rangers lead the Bruins 2-0 early in the second period. A young man by the name of Ryan Strome has his sixth of the season. Kings and Wild just underway, no score. And at 7 o'clock, it's the Avalanche and the Coyotes. The Raptors trail Houston 31-28 with 7 seconds left in the first quarter. The Raptors, without head coach Nick Nurse and five other members of his staff, they are out because of COVID-19 health and safety protocols. Pascal Siakam also out of this game because of the same protocols. So Sergio Scariolo, who is one of the Raptors' assistant coaches, he's a 59-year-old Italian who joined the Raptors staff in July of 2018, is very experienced, more than 30 years as a coach, but he is running the Raptors bench tonight, so we'll see how he does there. The Oilers will take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night. You may have heard of that other club. And that is on 630 CHED, of course, with a 3:30 face-off show, and the game will start at 5. That is two of the top three teams in the North Division in the NHL this season. If you want to go by points, you got Toronto with 32. You got Edmonton with 28. Winnipeg sitting with 25. If you go by points percentage, you have Toronto 762. And then Winnipeg just ahead of Edmonton, 658 to 636 would be the Jets' advantage. The Jets do have three games in hand on the Oilers, which is why the points percentage gives them a little bit of an advantage. The Oilers have won 5 in a row. They have won 11 of their last 13. They are all of a sudden looking very, very good after a 3-6 start to the year. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Hope your weekend is off to a great start. My name is Reed Wilkins. If you want to get in touch, no problem. It is easy to do so. You can use the CertainTeed hotline, 780-496-0063. CertainTeed, professional-grade building materials, pro all the way. That's also the number to text. You can get me on Twitter at Reed Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S, and you can email insidesports@630ched.com. I actually got an email from somebody a couple of days ago who said, Reed, you said James Wilder Jr. from the AA football team was on your show, and I'm looking through the podcast, and I can't find it. Well, that's not on that emailer. Unfortunately, we were not able to connect with Mr. Wilder Jr. the night he was supposed to do the interview. So that's one hopefully we can bring you down the road. I will tell you tonight, Ryan King is coming up for a little EE football content. We'll talk to Tim Adams, the founder and director of Free Play for Kids. You've heard Tim on this show before, doing such great work in the community to keep kids involved in sports, get them involved in sports, give them a place to be active and to be social and all those important things. So he's going to check in tonight. And between 6:30 and 7, Dominic Cahoon will be on the show. Edmonton Oilers forward, who got a couple big goals against the Canucks earlier this week. We'll talk about what's going on with him and the Oilers right now, and we'll flash back to 3 years ago. It was February 25th, 2018. He won a silver medal as a member of the German hockey team at the Olympics. You may remember that German team. They went on this kind of Cinderella run through that tournament, which was a little more unpredictable without NHL athletes involved. They only won one game in a shootout out of their three preliminary games. Then they beat Switzerland in overtime. They beat Sweden in overtime. Then they got by Canada by a goal, and they were a couple minutes away from winning the gold medal before, well, it wasn't called Russia. It was the Olympic athletes from Russia, tied it up late, and then eventually won the game in overtime, but still a pretty incredible memory. So Cahoon's going to fill us in on that. Now, as for the current edition of the Oilers, a lot of things going right lately. Goaltending, top of the list. They're getting contributions throughout the lineup. Offense for some depth players. Players coming in, coming out, filling in for injured players. Or, Ethan Bear coming back last night and be able to work hard and do well. They're able to recover from tough parts of the game. Tuesday in Vancouver, down 3-0, come back and win. Yesterday, pretty badly outplayed in the second half of the second period. Smith made the saves, and then they got it back on the rails in the third period, protected the lead, expanded the lead, and in fact only allowed 4 shots on goal against in the third period. So a lot of things are looking really, really good for the Edmonton Oilers. And the power play, I do want to circle back to this because this has kind of been an ongoing theme for me, because I am the one idiot. I am the lone pine in the field. I am the, I don't know what else. I'm the fly in the ointment. Whatever you want to say. Who said the Oilers' power play is going to be as good or better than last year. It's not quite there percentage-wise, but I think it has a chance. Here's what's happened with the power play this season. They started the year with that 3-6 record, and the power play in those 9 games was 20%. You know, not bad to have a 20% power play, but well below the Oilers' expectations. And Tyson Barrie, quite frankly, wasn't looking that great on the man advantage. And then it started to pick up, and Barrie's playing better. Darnell Nurse is getting some time on the power play. So over the last 13 games, when the Oilers have gone on this incredible run, the power play is at 32.6%. 32.6%. Over the last 13 games, and some big goals along the way. They were 2-for-5 on the power play last night. And what's interesting is you've seen on the power play, usually Tyson Barrie is the guy on the point, but sometimes Darnell Nurse is out there to start the power play, not just cycled in near the end. He is out there to start the power play. That's what happened when they had that nice passing play to lead to McDavid's tying goal on Tuesday. So Glenn Gullitson gave Dave Tippett a day off today and did the coach's end of the media availability. And I asked Gullitson, how do you decide who's going to go out there and start the power play?
It's basically this. Is we're probably going to roll out 2/3 of the time. We're going to roll out Tyson. And 1/3 of the time, we're going to roll out Doc. That's kind of the initial plan. But then game to game, that can change a little bit, because there are different looks that a lefty provides that power play up top. There's different options that he provides. So when you're playing these little mini series, it's good to have another option. So it's like a little tool in your tool belt, so that you're not as predictable, because teams, you know, do such a good job pre-scouting from one night to the next that, you know, our game plan going into the season right from training camp was to have Doc involved in the power play, because for that reason, we knew there's these little mini sets, little type of mini playoffs, and we didn't want teams to, we wanted to be a little bit unpredictable when we played them. So that's really the thought process that goes in. If we see something that is more conducive to the lefty up top there, we'll put Doc in.
So that was interesting that was a plan all along, that Darnell Nurse was going to get about 1/3 of the looks on the point on the first power play unit. And you know, something the Oilers haven't had in a while, different options. Now, Darnell Nurse hadn't been great on the power play when he'd had to fill in for Oscar Klefbom in the past, but Gullitson explaining they wanted that different look. They wanted the left shot, right lock look, and clearly they're anticipating, okay, we're going to play a lot of teams, double headers, 2 games in a row, sometimes even 3 games in a row, like coming up against Toronto. So not only are they going to be pre-scouting us against other opponents, they're going to have the advantage of seeing us one night and then playing us again a day or two later. So the Oilers wanted to mix Nurse in on the power play. And Darnell says, look, I'm happy to contribute on the power play however I can.
Yeah, no, I'm just there if they want to give a different look. So I try to stay ready. Obviously, the power play unit is very lethal, especially when Tyson's out there running, and if they need me to step in. And I feel like I'm very confident in my ability to play up there and contribute. So I think it's probably pretty nice that they're able to look back and you have a couple options, just like we have a couple options for that front guy.
That is Darnell Nurse, who also mentioned the net front guy. And the net front guys, responsible for the 2 power play goals last night. Alex Chiasson, the spin shot, fires it in off the post. Jesse Puljujärvi gets the rebound. There was one thing, and when things were going wrong earlier in the season, we talked about a lot of things that the Oilers could change. Should they put Nugent Hopkins, Drysdale, Yamamoto together? Should they take Barrie off the power play altogether? Should they take Adam Larson out of the lineup? Should they give Stuart Skinner a start in net? All those kind of things. And as we discussed all those things, there was one thing I heard at times that I didn't think they should do, and that was to take Alex Chiasson off the power play. Because I do think he has a lot of value there as a net front presence. Now, they are cycling in other players, so I asked Gullison today about Chiasson in front of the net, and is Puljujärvi learning from him?
Yeah, I think we've got some real good things going on here. Chaser's played that role, obviously, for three seasons now here this is going into the third in Edmonton. And he, I've had him at a couple stops in Dallas and in Calgary, and what he's very good at, he's very good around the net. He's very good around little plays. He's, you see on a lot of those goals, he's in the goalie's eyes. He's real, can make some plays in tight spaces. You saw the little goal last night. And then, what we've been doing with Jesse is, Jesse's kind of been learning a little bit, watching some video and taking a look at the power play. And, if we can get him in there and get him some reps too and improve his game around the net, we're developing, another good player there. So a second unit doesn't get much ice time, so we don't have a lot of time to do that there. So giving him spot duty here and there is something that's going to help him develop.
All right. So part of the plan there as well, Chiasson does a lot of good things down low. I know there were times earlier in the season, all right, he didn't cash in a chance, puck rolled off his stick or whatever, but he makes good plays and he actually screens the goaltender. He's the best the Oilers have at screening the goaltender. And he might be the best the Oilers have had in the last 5 to 10 years at screening a goaltender, quite frankly. Darnell Nurse also talked on those two guys in front of the net.
Yeah, Chaser, I mean, he's like a magnet to the puck in front of the net. And when the puck gets down there, he battles and competes for it. And, he's got a hunger to put the puck in the back of the net. So that's, it's always fun to see when even playing 5-on-5, when you get one down there, Chaser's down there, he's going to work and do everything he can to get in the net. So, and then to see Jesse step in, I think this year has just been, it's been fun to see Jesse just kind of play his game and have fun, and enjoy it. And he's been making the most of his opportunity. So, he's a big body down there in front and loves to score goals too. I think he's got some of the best facial expressions when he puts the puck in the back of the net. So it's just fun to see, and hopefully we can see a lot more.
Yeah, for sure. Darnell Nurse commenting what a lot of you comment on Puljujärvi's reaction when he scores a goal, or sometimes it's just sitting on the bench listening to Dave Tippett talk to a referee. I saw that video going around a couple of weeks ago. The enthusiastic player who's really coming along, and you heard it there, what he's learning to do in front of the net and what hopefully he can learn from Alex Chiasson. By the way, a couple of people have written in double-checking. Yes, Darnell Nurse is Doc. If you hear a coach or a player talking about Doc on the Edmonton Oilers, that is Darnell Nurse's nickname. But you know how it works with hockey nicknames. Your nurse, nursey, doc, that's how it goes. We found out a few days ago from Leon Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins is Nuggy. So there's a little look behind the scenes. It is 619-780-496-0063 if you want to get in touch. Inside Sports on Chet. All right, thanks for tuning in tonight. Edmonton Oil Kings, their season starts tonight, 7 o'clock at the Downtown Community Arena, taking on the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Hopefully this goes without saying, don't try to go to the game. There are no fans allowed. I feel like I'm saying the name of the arena as like a reminder that if you're going, they're not going to be in Rogers Place, but you cannot go. But we will keep you updated once that game faces off. I got a message today from a follower on Twitter. Because the other night I started talking about, I don't remember how I got into it, but some of the Leafs coverage and the Matthews talk and, is there enough talk about the Oilers, another team from the national networks and the national publications? So a gentleman who goes by the name Baden on Twitter, maybe he's even listening right now because he was referencing something I was talking about. I guess it would have been Wednesday. Yeah, he said, I heard you talk about how there's no real Eastern bias in the media the other day. TSN.ca on the NHL tab, here's the order of stories. Toronto, Detroit, Buffalo, on and on he goes. And the Oilers were the, according to what the research he did, were the 17th story on the NHL tab on TSN.ca. So I actually wrote back to him and I said, well, look, I don't think that... I actually think I was explaining why some teams get more coverage than others, not necessarily saying that there isn't an Eastern bias. My point is that if you're a national network and you look at your audience and you say about a third of our audience is in an area that probably cheers for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that might skew the coverage. Now, I will say this. I think there are times that a great story should trump the regionalism or who you think that is of most interest to your audience. And I think, and to me, that's really the problem in this country, is that so many people live in Southern Ontario. And then quite frankly, you know, Montreal is a huge city. And then a lot of people live in the lower mainland of BC. Right. I mean, those are the three biggest cities with the most concentrated population. But I do take Baden's point to heart that I do think sometimes you would like to see the national network to say, OK, we have a bigger story than just always going with Leafs highlights first or the Leafs story at the top. I do think they do that at times. Do they do it as much as maybe I would like? I would say probably not. Having said that, I'm also of the attitude that's their thing. I have my own show to do. And given that I know the region I'm in and I know the teams and the stories that people like the most. So if you're not getting that nationally, I think you can get it here. But I do think we have to recognize that is the audience. I mean, that is, look, if you were to randomly take three Canadians, if you were to get a list of every Canadian, that'd be a lot of paper, and randomly pick three of them, probably one of them lives within a couple hours of Toronto, which means if they're a sports fan, they probably care about the Leafs the most. So I think if it's a day where, all right, there's no big story, what are you going to lead with? Well, you're probably going to lead with the Maple Leafs because you're going to retain the most audience that way. Do I think, sure, some of the other teams sometimes should get more attention? Yeah, absolutely. But that's not my editorial call. I mean, that's they're going to do their thing, and I'm going to do my thing. And I think it's an interesting point. I think, I mean, I've worked in broadcasting for 21 years now. Well, I guess I'm almost at 21 years. And I understand that sometimes, and I've fallen into this trap myself, and I've even as a more experienced broadcaster, I'm not saying I always avoid the trap, but I think I'm better at it than when I was younger and working on this show with Dave Campbell. I do think there are times where somebody in the media can get locked into one area and say, okay, that's the one that attracts the largest audience, so we're always going to think about that first. As opposed to thinking, okay, we know that attracts the largest audience, but as someone in the media, it's my job to tell great stories and expose the audience to things they might not otherwise have access to. And is that actually more interesting than just beating the same drum with the same teams and the same athletes over and over? I think we try to do that on this show. I'm not saying we're perfect in terms of what you see from the national. I mean, if you're a national sports network in Canada, then really you have to cover the NHL primarily. If you're a national sports network or publication in Canada, then you have to cover the National Hockey League, certainly primarily. So if you're going to TSN or Sportsnet for highlights, I would think that's what you want to see, unless it's Super Bowl day or World Series or something like that. I'm probably taking you too far down a path. Maybe you're not interested, but these are the types of things I think about given the work that I do. But anyway, yeah. And Al just texted in, they are supposed to be national networks. I get it, Al. I get it. But if there's no obvious national story, then you're probably going to break the tie by going with the Leafs. And here's another thing everybody has to remember too. The only baseball team in the country and the only basketball team in the country is out of Toronto. So if you're, I mean, how many of you cheer for the Blue Jays? How many of you cheer for the Raptors, right? You don't want Seattle Mariners highlights because they're close to Edmonton. You probably want Blue Jays highlights. Anyway, I could talk about that all day long. I'm not saying I'm right or anybody is wrong, but I do want to tell you how I look at it. We'll take a quick timeout. Dominic Cahoon's coming up in the next half hour of the show. Oh my goodness, that sounds like rock and roll music. Cody Jansen is back at the 630 Chet Broadcasting Compound tonight as Kellen Kennedy has the night off to organize his sock drawer. Cody, was that Guns N' Roses?
You bet it was.
From Appetite for Destruction, 1987. My second favorite album that came out in 1987. Now, are you familiar with the band? Because I'm guessing, Cody, and you and I have rarely seen each other in person because of the pandemic, but I'm guessing you were not born yet in 1987.
Yeah, that's a correct assumption, Reed.
So had you heard of the band Guns N' Roses before you started occasionally working on Inside Sports?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
not going to elaborate on it.
I don't know for sure. I had to check. I had a very and Dominic Cahoon's coming up here in a couple minutes. Edmonton Oilers forward's going to join us on the show. I've made no secret of the fact, obviously, I like Def Leppard, for better or for worse. They are my favorite band. I had a very interesting experience with someone who is like one of my best friends, like no doubt about that. And we used to work together at the station. Now we can't be in the same building, but so for some reason I was watching the video. Now this friend of mine knew that I was a huge Def Leppard fan, like understood that was my favorite band and that's who I was into. So I was at my desk and I was watching the video for Pour Some Sugar on Me. I actually might have been showing it to someone else who I was trying to indoctrinate. that's what I call it. I get people to listen to Def Leppard. It's indoctrination, everybody. So, and this friend of mine walked by and was like, "Oh, that is such a good song." And she's like, "I didn't know you would be into that, Reed." And I was like, "What do you mean you didn't know I would be into that? This is Def Leppard." And she was like, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." So my favorite band is old enough that younger people might know the songs that get played a lot, but don't realize that they are Def Leppard songs.
I feel like I fit in that category.
You would fit in that category. You think that maybe I could play some Def Leppard music for you and you would know the song, but you wouldn't know for sure that it was Def Leppard.
Oh, yeah, that's 100%.
But you're learning some of these songs because we play many of them coming back from break now.
Just because of you, Reed.
Well, you should go and get yourself a tape of Def Leppard's Hysteria. Start listening to it on your free time. You could write me a tape report, instead of a book report.
I'll think about it.
Well, if I assign it, you won't think about it. You'll do it.
I guess so.
All right. Hey, you're a goalie, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, so what do you think of Smith's play? Is he going to keep it up? What do you see in his game here?
Oh, he's been playing great. I think he's really, kind of had some of that time to rest, which I think is huge for him. But he's always kind of been one of those goaltenders who, and you hate to say he's a 940 or an 840 goaltender, but he does have consistency issues. He's getting up there in age. But I mean, hey, he's really taken the reins, kind of settled him down, made some big saves for him. And I wouldn't go as far to say he's stolen games, but he's definitely the reason that they're winning on quite a few nights now.
Now, would you say, because this has always been my observation, but it's my observation, and Rob Brown, who played in the NHL, he's always said that he feels like technically he doesn't know as much about goaltending because he was always trying to score on them and as opposed to actually playing the position. But would you say Smith's style, is he the only goaltender currently in the NHL who plays the style he does? Sort of deep in the net, very busy, a lot of movement, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard style to emulate, which I also think is kind of, he uses it to his benefit against some of these young shooters who have never seen a goaltender like that before they're coming in. And I mean, there's not too many guys in the American League and major juniors in college that do play like that. So it is a little unconventional. And you kind of see it in a guy like Cal Peterson in LA too is the opposite, but he's overly aggressive and shooters just don't know how to react to it.
Okay. Interesting. I think it's going to be Smith tomorrow. He was in the home team goal at practice today. You'll sometimes see members of the media say, "Oh, this goalie is in the starter's net." What we mean is that goaltender was in the net the home team defends in the first and third periods, which usually means he's going to start the next game. Wouldn't surprise me if they go back with Smith tomorrow. Rangers up 2-1 on the Bruins late in the second period. late in the first, it's already 3-0 for Minnesota on top of the Los Angeles Kings. Joel Eriksson Ek has his 7th of the season. And later on tonight, the Avalanche play the Coyotes. Oil Kings at 7 against Lethbridge. Raptors leading Houston 60-50 with 2 minutes left in the first half. I am pleased to welcome to Inside Sports a forward with your Edmonton Oilers, Dominic Cahoon. Dominic, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's nice to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time to join us. And man, oh man, I want to ask you about the Olympic experience you were going through 3 years ago with Germany. But before we go into that, I mean, hey, what a run here for the Edmonton Oilers. At one point, you guys were 3-6, and now you're 14-8. Can you put your finger on a couple things that have allowed you guys to take off here?
I would say it's just like how we believe in ourselves, you know. We know that we have a very good team, and maybe at the start it wasn't clicking enough, or maybe like we just didn't get the bounces we needed. But I think right now we found ourselves, and we just play hard, play together, and I think it's showing right now. But we have to stay focused, and we have big games coming up now, so we have to be ready for those and try to keep this streak going.
Couple of big goals for you in the comeback win over Vancouver on Tuesday. How did it feel to be such a big part of the comeback that night?
Yeah, it felt great. Obviously, like I had some chances in the games before and they didn't win in. So it always feels good when you can score and contribute too. But I mean, it was even more fun to just see like after the game, you know, when we came back after the 3-1 down, just how happy everyone was in the locker room. And I think that's the special part about sports, when you see the guys like celebrate and being happy, and also that's always a great feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and for you, you know, you've had some scoring chances in other games where maybe the puck didn't go in for you, and that's sometimes the life of a forward in hockey. But what do you do when, you know, to keep your confidence up where maybe you feel you're playing well, but the pucks just aren't going in?
I would just try to keep going all the time. It's always good to have chances. You know, if you play games and nothing happens, you have no chances, then something is wrong. So as long as you have chances, it's a good sign. And if they don't go in, I just try to keep working hard and try to stick to my game. And I know someday they're going to come in.
Yeah. For you, what's the adjustment like to living in Edmonton? And obviously it's a very strange time with COVID. You can't maybe get out and experience life and being an Oiler as you might be able to in the future. But, you know, how has the life change been coming to a new city and a new team?
I know it's obviously a tough time right now. Like you said, with COVID, you don't see much, especially when you come to a new city. But yeah, all I see is like the hockey, the hotel, you know, and but the guys are awesome. They gave me a very warm welcome. It wasn't too hard for me. Obviously, I already know Leon pretty well, so that helped a lot too. But now that the team is super, I love the teammates, and it's very much fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good to see the team is doing well. Just a quick look ahead. I mean, you guys have shot up in the standings, and now you're playing the Leafs. It's always special when it's an Edmonton-Toronto matchup, and you still have a few more coming up. But how excited are you for this 3-game series, and what do you expect?
I'm very excited. Obviously, it's right now probably the best game in the division, and it's always fun to play against Toronto because when such two good teams play each other, I think always that the hockey is even more fun and it goes up and down. It's also nice for the fans, you know. So we're very excited, but also we know how focused we have to be to win those games.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Olympics, about hockey in Germany, and maybe your path there as well. I know you were born in the Czech Republic, but basically grew up in Germany and played on several German national teams. When you were a kid, was hockey your first love, or what other sports did you play?
Yeah, so when I was born in Czech, obviously like in Czech, hockey is number one sport, so you know, I stepped on the ice when I was very young, so it was, I definitely had fun there, so I could, or my parents tell me they felt that I have so much fun, I just want to play hockey. But growing up, I also played soccer. I think until I was 13, I think I played like both, you know, like I always played for a soccer team in the summer, but at the age of 13, I had to decide. So I stick with hockey.
All right. Well, and then you made a pretty big decision too as a teenager to move to Sudbury. That couldn't have been an easy decision at the time.
Yeah, definitely. I got drafted in the European draft there, and yeah, obviously it was a big step. It wasn't easy to leave home, but it was my dream, you know, to one day go over, and my biggest goal was to get drafted, which at the end didn't work out, but I mean, it was still a great experience, and I had a great billet family there, had great teammates, so I definitely will remember the time.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, like I said, you played on several German national teams. We're not going to go through all of those. I think we got to focus on the Olympics here, because it's 3 years ago this week, basically, that you guys were on your way to a silver medal. I mean, first of all, I guess that tournament, I was looking back on it, didn't start off overly great for you guys. I think you only had one win in the three preliminary games.
Yeah, we lost to Finland, we lost to Sweden, and then we beat Norway in the shootout. So yeah, I've been I did this so many times already with the Olympics, but I always say the same, you know, like we lost the first couple games, but I think the second game against Sweden was probably the best game we've ever played in my national team career. We lost 1-0, but we dominated them. We just couldn't score, and after that game we felt we have something special there, and that we can achieve something special there. So we had a great feeling after this game, and then after that game it all started. We beat Norway, and then we just kept going.
What were the expectations for your team going into the tournament? It was obviously different because the NHL players weren't there. Did that change the way maybe you guys felt going into it?
Yeah, obviously it was a little different with no NHL players, but to be honest, like when you think about it, even like without NHL players, like Sweden, Finland, Canada, USA, those teams, we just have to be honest, you know, they're just better hockey countries. So we knew we were still an underdog in this tournament. But like I said, we knew there's something special. But yeah, when we arrived, you know, it just, I guess it was for the other players too, but for myself especially, like I was just so happy to be part of the Olympics. You know, I tried to enjoy everything. And then, like I said, when we start playing well, we felt maybe there is a big chance. And yeah, we used that.
Well, and I remember watching, you know, some of your games, and we were often asking Leon about the games during the Oilers season that year. But man, oh man, Dominic, like you go to overtime against the Swiss, you go to overtime against the Swedes. It's a close game against Canada. I mean, just these incredibly tense, down to the wire games, it seemed day after day for you guys.
Yeah, it was, again, I just always say special, you know, because we had such a great, I don't know how you say in English, like the team was sticking together, you know, we just believed in each other. And we also had always the good luck at our time, at the best point we needed it, you know, like when we didn't play as good as we were supposed and our goalie played unbelievable, or like some posts helped us, or they hit the crossbar, you know, like always at the perfect point we got the luck, and we scored also big goals at the perfect time. So yeah, it felt like it just has to be like that, you know. And yeah, unfortunately we didn't make it in the finals. It was like 1 minute to go, but we still will remember that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, well, I remember watching that final game, and it was just insane, because Russia went ahead, or I guess the Olympic athletes from Russia, the team was officially called. You scored to tie the game 2-2, and then You guys went ahead, and then Russia scored again in the final minute. But and your name is all, I should tell people, your name's all over the score sheet in all these games. What were those final 10 minutes like of the gold medal game, even before you went into overtime? Like, how crazy was that going back and forth?
Yeah, it was very crazy. Before the game already, we were like, you know, we were probably the happiest guys before the game already, because we knew like we have a medal. Nobody would ever say that we can have a chance to win a medal at the Olympics. So we went into the game as winners already, you know, and we said like, yeah, Russia is probably the best team in the tournament, but you never know. So first period, they just dominated us. So we didn't really have much there, but then we kept going. And like you said, we tied it up. We went 3-2 in front, I think, 10 minutes to go. And I think also 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes to go, they took a penalty. So we had like the power play, you know, in the last couple of minutes. And we were like, Jesus, like, we couldn't believe it that we probably should win the game. And yeah, then unfortunately, a couple of mistakes happened there. And yeah, that's how they tied it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope I'm not taking you back to a really, you know, miserable place here, but I just wonder what it was like, you know, that moment Russia scores and you get your silver medal and you kind of have those last few moments together as a team in the dressing room. Does it still feel like a positive memory, even though you didn't get the gold?
Oh, it's for sure positive. I think I remember like most of the guys were sad or like crying for like 5 minutes. But after that, we were again, we were probably same happy like Russia was winning the gold, you know, because we just knew we still accomplished such a big thing. Nobody knows if Germany will ever do that again, you know. So, but yeah, definitely at the moment it was tough. But after that, we came together. We were talking. The coach talked to us, and yeah, we just realized how special it was. And after that, we had a party together, and so yeah, it was such a great time.
Yeah, what was it? You went back to Germany after that, I believe. Was it? What was it like when you got back? Did you and the other hockey players get a lot of attention for a while?
Yeah, it was great. You know, you could see that something changed a little bit in German hockey. Unfortunately, after maybe like a month, it went back down again. But that's the parts like where we want to make German hockey bigger. And that's these moments. But unfortunately, didn't hold long to it. So yeah, I think we have a good future in German hockey with those players coming up. But yeah, we all try now, like you can see Leon and guys like that. We try to make German hockey bigger, but yeah, we still have to keep trying.
Okay. And just to go back to you as a kid again, who was your favorite athlete? Was it a hockey player or who did you look up to?
So yeah, when I was really, really young, I guess because I was born in Czech, it was Jager, you know, because he was like the hero in the Czech, especially hockey. And when I got a little bit older, like, or even right now, like my idol is like Lionel Messi, you know, soccer player. So he's just I look up to him, to be honest. Like I watch his games, you know, I just, he's just amazing. And so he's probably my sports idol.
Okay, cool. Well, definitely a lot of people looking up to you and the Oilers right now. It's a fun run. This is going to be great coming up against the Maple Leafs. Dominic, thanks for sharing some memories and letting fans know a little bit about your journey to the NHL and to Edmonton. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is Dominic Cahoon of your Edmonton Oilers. Some thoughts on how the team is playing lately and looking back to 3 years ago when he won silver at the Olympics playing for Germany. Oilers and Leafs tomorrow, 3:30 faceoff show, game at 5 here on 6:30 Ched. Will the Leafs have one of their top guns in the lineup? More on that when we get back. Well, Connor McDavid is up to 40 points in 22 games to lead the National Hockey League. The leading goal scorer is Austin Matthews of the Maple Leafs. He's really on an incredible run, 20 games. He already has 18 goals. However, day-to-day, coming into tomorrow's game. So we'll see if he's going to be able to go against the Oilers. He did not practice today. Sheldon Keefe, the coach of the Leafs, on Matthews playing through a nagging wrist injury.
Well, I think it just speaks to, you know, the fact that he's just remained resilient and hasn't allowed little things like that to disrupt him. Obviously, you know, the injury situations, you missed the game once already and bounced right back and had a tremendous run. Even the other night, got banged up there. I guess it was the second period and while he had to adapt his game and I had to adapt how we used him a little bit, he still competed his ass off right to the very end. And in fact, you know, makes a great play to just to give Willie the space to make the play that he made ultimately on the overtime winning goal. So that's a good sign for both the fact that, you know, we feel like, you know, the injury isn't something that's going to slow him down too much here. But also just the fact that he just competes and finds ways to adapt and overcome things that he's able to.
All right, so that's a storyline for tomorrow. Will Austin Matthews be able to play? Really good games this year so far between the Oilers and Toronto. They played that one game in Toronto where it was too defensive for most people. And Dave Tippett said, what do you want? You say neither team can play defense, and then they do it, and now everybody's mad. But that game a few Saturdays ago, that overtime game that McDavid won in overtime, that was an awesome game. A lot of skill on display. Both goaltenders made huge saves, and then McDavid won it in overtime. Can also tell you, here's a report coming up from Alex Stone. New information on the Tiger Woods car crash.
Now, 3 days after Tiger Woods crashed the SUV he was driving, LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva saying during an interview that Woods does not remember the accident. Villanueva saying at the hospital, Woods was asked by investigators what happened and he had no recollection. On Thursday, Woods was transferred from Harbor UCLA Medical Center to Cedars-Sinai for orthopedic care and recovery. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Yeah, we had an extensive interview the other night with Grant Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy about Woods' injury and the recovery process, which is going to be a very, very difficult one. Could be weeks before Woods is able to even put weight on that right leg after the surgeries and the broken bones. All right. You can chime in at 780-496-0063. That is the number to both call and text. Oh, Vic, I'm sorry. I did not see your question. Do Dominic and Drysdale communicate with each other in German while they're playing in the game? Well, maybe sometimes. Maybe sometimes. David says, I want to thank Cahoon for the 50 points on my Tim's hockey Tuesday night. All right. Good scoring there. Glad he could come through. All right. A little more on the Oilers, of course, as we go along. And we'll catch up with Ryan King from the EE football team when we get back. Thanks for checking out the show tonight.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.